C-21. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. On their way back to the basement, with Henry's curiosity satisfied by a simple and harmless white lie about a moment of acute lightheadedness brought on by a fluctuation in Emma's blood sugar level, the returning trio passed by the TV, which was tuned to the big game. Play was stopped as everyone, including the players, gazed eastward at an incredible fireball in the night sky.
"Geez, looks like another one," Henry said.
Dan glanced at the screen for a second, but didn't know enough about sports to know what the abbreviations in the top corner stood for.
"Where is that stadium?"
he asked, longing for the answer to be either California or, less likely, North Dakota.
"San Francisco," Henry replied.
A smile crossed Dan's face. Henry was facing the TV, so there was no need for him to hide it.
"Bingo,"
Emma whispered in Dan's ear as they descended the stairs to reunite with the others. As soon as the door closed tightly behind Dan, he heard Tara's voice.
"California," she shrieked excitedly. "Your corridor of expectation."
"Who was calling?"
Timo asked, turning to Emma.
"Jack," she said. "Nothing to worry about. He was just desperate for some info from inside the GSC. They have nothing, and they seem to think we have a lot more than we actually do on that front."
Tara and Clark remained glued to the TV, but Dan was looking at Trey.
"Are you okay?"
he asked, noticing for the first time just how scared he really looked. Trey shook his head and handed Dan the small backpack he'd been clutching since his arrival.
"This is all the footage I got, of the craft and of the satellite. Dan, thanks for everything, but I can't be involved in any of this. I'm not running away, and you know where to find me if you ever want to talk about anything, but right now, I need to be home with my family. Jack Neal, those neck pains you guys felt out there, I just really, really can't. I'm sorry."
"Don't apologize," Emma said. "And obviously you're free to go whenever you want, but I need to know that you understand the importance of silence here. That's what I meant when I said it's too late to back out and that you're already involved, okay? I just need to know that you're going to keep all of this on the down low, all of it."
"Are you kidding me?" Trey said. "Of course I am. Like I just told you, the last thing I want in my life are threats from Jack Neal and convulsions from alien implants or whatever you guys just went through. I'm never going to speak a word of any of this to anyone. Dan, thanks again for the heads up on the footage, but you can keep it. I know you wouldn't bring me into anything dangerous on purpose, but I don't like the look of any of this. Not for one second. I appreciate what you..."
"Don't worry about it," Dan interrupted, saving Trey the trouble of defending a position which Dan was delighted he had decided to take.
"It's okay. You're not in any trouble, and you don't have to apologize for wanting out. Just as long as you really do understand how important it is that you never say a word of any of this to anyone. Ever."
Trey held his hands up, palms out.
"I wouldn't dream of it, dude. But just between us, before I go, do you actually know what's going on here?"
"They're leading me to the fourth plaque," Dan said very simply. "I think I'll have it in a few days, and I think you'll see what's engraved on it before much longer. Everything should settle down after that." Trey's eyes widened, his mouth almost forming a smile.
"For real? And you think the message is something good?"
Dan nodded. "For real. And yeah, it's going to be good. A big part of me thinks it's going to show us where to find new Kerguelen."
"Whoa," was all Trey said.
Clark approached Trey, then patted him on the back and shook his hand.
"Till next time, man. We'll see you right for your help and for all the gas money. Just remember to keep everything quiet, and when this is all over, I'll buy you a beer at the grill."
"I think you can spot me more than one," Trey said with a fairly relaxed laugh.
While Tara and Timo remained largely focused on the TV footage of the recent Californian incident with one ear on Trey's departure, Emma stepped in to make sure that Trey had given them absolutely all of the footage he captured at Lolo.
"I triple-checked every camera," he confirmed. "I didn't record anything on my phone, and I've given you every second of footage from every single one."
"And you didn't copy anything?"
"Not a thing. Emma, seriously, I want to keep myself out of this just as much as you want me to keep quiet. In fact, I want it more."
Emma shook Trey's hand in acceptance of his word, and there were no further drawn-out goodbyes. 30 seconds later, his presence was a memory.
"Well, that was easy," Emma said, having been prepared for what she had thought would be a difficult task in telling Trey that his craft footage could never be shared and that he couldn't even distribute his excellent footage of the falling satellite. The satellite footage, he had told them, was significantly better than any which had been seen elsewhere, given that he was fortunate enough to have had several pieces of professional recording equipment already pointing at the sky when it happened. She had expected that Trey wouldn't have understood why the satellite footage in particular couldn't be used, and that she would have had to explain that computer programs and forensic analysts would almost certainly have been capable of determining his ground location, their secretly crucial spot at Lolo, based on the images of the sky he captured. For Dan, the fact that Trey didn't want to get involved or even ask many questions about the messengers removed every modicum of guilt he might have felt about his earlier plan to keep the hoax part of the story from Trey while telling him the rest. Too curious not to, Dan then began to load the footage from Trey's primary camera onto his computer while the others crowded around the news footage from California. More than anyone else, Tara in particular was entranced by what the anchors were already describing as the most spectacular incident of a spectacular week. When Dan glanced again at the TV while the huge video files copied to his hard drive, that one glance was enough to see why.